Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teen Scientist. My name is Raina Malhotra, your host tonight, and we have James Johnson with us doing our audio engineering. Now, for some background, here on Teen Scientist, I aim to bring listeners stories of groundbreaking innovation in the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics disciplines, all entirely from a teenage perspective. We highlight local, regional, and national STEM stories with young students or experts in their fields. We also feature excellence in high school independent research and technological developments. Joining us is a student researcher all the way from Fall River, Massachusetts, who I'm really excited to talk to tonight. Welcome, Soleil. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad you were able to join us. Could you just start off by telling us a bit about yourself?
Of course. So my name is Soleil Guasp. I'm 18 years old, and I'm currently a senior at BMC Durfee High School in Fall River, Massachusetts.
And before we dive into your groundbreaking research, could you share what your interests and hobbies are?
Of course. So a few of my interests and hobbies revolve around STEM, mostly focused on computer science and biology, as well as activism and educational reform and the performing arts as well.
And so you did most of your research at the Broad Institute of MIT and Harvard last summer, correct?
Yes, I was part of the Broad Summer Scholars Program.
And what inspired you to apply for this?
Yeah, what inspired me to apply to this program was because I really saw the lack of courses and availability to a lot of courses such as biology or computational biology specifically. And so what I wanted to do was look more into that specific field that wasn't really introduced to us until I took AP Biology my sophomore year. And once I discovered how amazing computational biology was and how current and innovative it is towards our future medical research, that's what inspired me to look up courses, and I came across the Broad Summer Research Program, and that's when I decided to apply.
Going into this, did you have any previous experience doing research?
No, I actually was, in fact, only a sophomore who had taken AP Biology. And then my junior year, I took AP Computer Science, but besides that, I had taken no outside research programs or any courses in relation to computational biology specifically.
And can you tell us a bit about the actual research that you did at the Broad?
Of course. So at the Broad, I did cancer immunology research. So all of it falls under the computational biology category, but I specifically worked with the TIDE group, which was a tumor immunotherapy engine. And so what I would work on specifically was on gene expression and the response to immunotherapy predicted by certain genes. So, yeah, that's some of the research that I did, as well as creating box plots for gene expression and survival curves for genes in order to see whether overexpressed genes conferred resistance to immunotherapy.
And so this was a summer program, correct?
Yes, this was a summer program for 6 weeks.
And so over the span of 6 weeks, did you have any significant results from this?
Some of the most significant results that I actually had was we discovered that one of the genes, so I was with a lab partner, and we both were assigned three different genes each. And out of all of those, one of the genes that I ended up finding out conferred resistance to immunotherapy because a higher expression of this gene, so it was a DNA ligase, it led to a significantly worse clinical outcomes in a cohort of approximately 121 melanoma patients treated with immunotherapy, in which I analyzed. And so something that I actually found out was it could serve as a potential target for immunotherapy.
And then you also just mentioned that you had a lab partner. Were there a lot of other students there that you made connections with?
Yeah, I was one of a little bit more than, I think, approximately 14. It was a cohort of students. And we were essentially made in pairs.
And do you still talk to some of them?
Yes, I made some of the greatest friendships there. And I still talk to a lot of them. And a lot of them I went through the college application process with. I still talk to them about what they do at school, as well as support each other. I made a really strong bond with all the people in my cohort.
Well, that's amazing to hear. And would you say the experience overall was really collaborative?
Yes, 100%. It both had its aspects of collaboration and also where you did independent research, which was the most exciting part about it. So we would initially be work in sort of our partner groups, and we'd be under the mentorship of some associate computational biologists, and they would guide lectures for us in terms of cancer immunotherapy with my group specifically, and we would learn a little bit more about everything and how immunotherapy sort of improves the ability of a patient's own body to combat cancer cells. And so we learned a little bit more about the science of it that we don't normally learn in our classroom. And then afterwards, we would be divided into our own individual pairs, and our research poster was just made by us. So I made my own research poster about my specific genes that I analyzed through the box plots for gene expression and the survival curves.
And so back to your research, what are the real-world applications of your work?
Yes, definitely. Cancer immunotherapy is something that is very current and something that is constantly changing. There are a lot of bioethical conversations that do come with immunotherapy, especially through the CRISPR-A activation screening lens, which is essentially what we learned about. We would either overexpress genes or underexpress them to see whether they confer that resistance to immunotherapy. And there's a lot of ethical questions that come with research like this, and which is what particularly inspired me to continue this throughout after high school.
And can you tell our listeners more about CRISPR?
Yeah, of course. So specifically what I learned about was CRISPR-A activation screening. So CRISPR is a tool that genetically modifies cells. So in a CRISPR-A activation screening, which is what I focused on, the selected genes are either overexpressed and changes in sensitivity or resistance to immunotherapy are observed. So the CRISPR activation screens can identify promising hits for new immunotherapy targets.
Is there any COVID applications to your research?
Yes, actually. I guess in terms of CRISPR itself, there could be an application, although my research was generally cancer immunology focused. There is a lot of things being done, not only specifically to COVID, but other diseases. In order to create vaccines, we do use sort of the same sort of technology in wet labs. And so I guess you could also apply that to research and also sort of genetically modifying humans in order to resist certain diseases once you develop like a human, right? And there's also, I guess, ways in which they create vaccines. It's sort of this similar method.
Interesting. Well, I'm going to pause for a short break, but when we return, we'll continue discussing Soleil's research. You're listening to Teen Scientist on WDIY. Connect to WDIY with our streaming app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and programs that you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or your favorite music shows on demand with our two-week archive feature. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Galactic Travels brings you hour-long soundscapes of electronic, ambient, and space music. Each month's special focus highlights an artist, label, or event with the featured CD at midnight. That's every Thursday night at 11 right here on WDIY Allentown, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, 88.1 FM, WDIY.org, and the free WDIY radio app. Many choices, real voices.
Welcome back. I'm Raina Malhotra, and this is Teen Scientist on WDIY. With me, I have Soleil Guasp, a senior from Fall River, Massachusetts, who just finished discussing the applications of her immunotherapy research. Soleil, how long do you think it will take to see these applications in the real world?
So CRISPR activation technology, as well as the current cancer immunology applications of this tool, is something that will be constantly innovating. And honestly, these treatments are the kind of things that leave you with more questions than answers, which is what's particularly very captivating about the subject. So in terms of how long, I think it will be constantly changing as we analyze more genes, as we look in terms of improving our technologies and finding ways to make the research more ethical. I believe this is going on for the long run, and this is going to be at the forefront of groundbreaking technology in the future, especially when it comes to cancer immunology research.
And is there any research besides yours going on right now that's like similar to yours?
At the moment, when we actually did this research at the Broad, it was actually something, the genes that we had analyzed were genes that had never been analyzed by any of the computational biologists at the Broad. So what was very unique about this experience was that we were already doing groundbreaking discoveries like through these different genes. And so actually what will be happening is that scientists at the Broad will be using the research that I do in order to carry out with various different genes, and we'll be looking more into the gene that I saw that served as a potential hit for immunotherapy. And they're going to be further analyzing that with a little bit more data that's a little bit more advanced than what I had learned at the moment.
And you touched on this before, but overall, how was your experience at the Broad? Did you form major connections with your mentors?
Yes, so I absolutely loved my mentors. We had very great conversations. They challenged me to work very hard, especially when it came to lectures and when they challenged me to code all of the box plots for gene expression and the survival curves, which is something I had never done in my life. They really supported me throughout everything, and they're still people who I talk to today. I still do talk to one of my mentors, and they really helped me out, and I still try to involve myself in the Broad by listening to different seminars that they host, because I really love their mission and some of the groundbreaking research that they do. And I formed a lot of great friendships and a lot of great connections with some of the bioethicists at the Broad and also outside of the Broad.
And you also mentioned bioethics before. What is important for listeners to consider with this technology?
Something that is super, super important to consider is how this technology is going to impact everything as a whole. Something that I always thought and something that I took away with me from the Broad with some of the lectures was that a lot of people get really dazzled and very happy with a lot of the technology that goes on, which is very great. It's very groundbreaking in terms of medical technologies, but it's also very important to keep in mind how ethical this stands, and also sort of the structural impact of some of the technology that's going on, because we've had a lot of disparities in the past in terms of medical discovery, and we want to make sure to move forward in a way that's progressive and that also benefits the entire community.
Now, moving on to you, what are your plans for the future? Since you're a senior, do you think you'll be continuing to work in computational biology as you go into college?
Yes, so I intend to, if all goes well, that I major in computational biology wherever I go, and also potentially double major with something like history of science or bioethics or science, technology, and society, which are all majors that revolve around the humanities aspect of science.
And is there any specific category of research that you're interested in pursuing while you go into college?
Something that I'm very interested actually is doing research on cancer immunology. Once I left that research program, I was so, so hooked into all the different aspects of immunotherapy and also CRISPR technology, because sort of combining both the majors of computational biology and also humanities gave me the opportunity to both be in the lab and also research the ethical implications of the research that I'm doing in my own lab.
Now, moving outside of STEM, what other programs are you involved in?
Yeah, so outside of school, something that I'm very involved in is educational reform. So I am part of organizations such as the Massachusetts Climate Education Organization, where we aim to look for more climate-implemented curriculum throughout the K-12 curriculum in Massachusetts. So we really see a lack in climate education, especially in the lower level, where it's the elementary and middle school level, and that's sort of what we aim to do. And we already did file a bill in terms of it, so we're really progressing ahead in terms of that. And yeah, so I'm very passionate about educational reform with climate education as well as ethnic studies.
Now, how are you involved in these organizations? Do you have any leadership positions?
Of course. So in terms of educational reform of the climate, Massachusetts Climate Education Organization, I am the Director of Equity and Justice. So I'm in charge of all events in terms of equity and inclusion, and we host forums in terms of how to make some of our climate curriculum more inclusive. For example, implementing more indigenous-focused literature with climate education and also implemented in textbooks. And I'm also leading our project that we're currently doing right now, which is publishing a climate justice textbook in collaboration with two former professors from Cornell and MIT.
And since you seem to be very socially active, but also involved in science, have you ever thought about combining these two fields?
Yes. As I mentioned before, I believe that majors like history, science, and science, technology, and society are majors that are really calling my name because it puts the focus on both the groundbreaking research, and I get to learn about all the sciences, as well as the ethical implications of all of them, which is something that I am equally as passionate about, and I really want to learn about the history of where we came from in science and how we sort of evolved to what we are today, as well as participate in the groundbreaking research that is happening.
So if you could go back in time and change something about your high school experience, what would that be?
Honestly, to answer that question, I would not want to change anything about my high school experience. I believe the path that I sort of forged for myself was very unique, how I involved myself in both the humanities and also STEM, and how I found all these research programs. Although at my school, we don't really offer a lot of opportunities for research programs and everything. I essentially Googled myself or I heard from other people. I think I forged my path to what I am today, and it's something that I would never take back.
I love that answer. Where would you like to see your career path progress in the future?
So in terms of career, I'm still very open to a lot of things, but two of my most wanted careers at the moment is either being a bioethicist, so learning more about, as I said before, the history of science, and also being in charge of the ethics of different groundbreaking research that occurs, and being able to evaluate all the ethical implications of it, as well as formulate a thesis with each of the research that I analyze and tell other researchers what they can do to make it more ethical, because I believe that's something that's very important and that is very overlooked. And also maybe be a computational biologist myself.
And to our young listeners who are interested in research too, what piece of advice would you give to them?
A great piece of advice that I would like to give is to allow yourself to explore and don't limit yourself too much on what you want to do. It's okay to know what you want, for example, if you want to go into a particular field, but also allow yourself to explore different curriculum or different courses. A lot of the courses that I actually was part of were very abstract. I took courses in quantum computing. I took courses in artificial intelligence. I did this research program, and I had little kind of experience in research, and I sort of allowed myself to open to all options, and that's when I eventually found what I was most passionate about. So I would definitely give the piece of advice is to not close yourself off too early, because there might be something out there that you really love and you have just not yet discovered.
Lastly, where can people go to learn more about you and your work?
Yeah, so some of my work that I did is actually posted on the Broad Institute website. So if you go on the Broad website and you look at the current cohort of BSSP students, which is a column that you will see, you will find my name there, and you, if you want to learn more about my research. And as well, I also post about some of my research endeavors, as well as some of the activism things that I do, both on the Diversify Our Narrative Instagram or my Instagram, which is Sky Soleil.
Is there anything else you'd like to pass on to our teen listeners?
The only thing that I want to say is that if you're very interested in research or in STEM or even in anything, just allow yourself to explore. And it was a pleasure being here with you guys. And I just want to thank you all for interviewing me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening and telling us a bit about your groundbreaking work. It's inspiring to see other high school students make such powerful impacts in such unique ways. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in tonight on WDIY's Teen Scientist. I'm Raina Malhotra, and this is WDIY. Tune in next Thursday for more Lehigh Valley Discourse. We'll see you next time on Teen Scientist.